Hello, and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak. Hope everybody's doing well out there. We are getting into the election time of the year where people are starting to come at each other with political ads and all kind of nastiness. And they're all like, oh, no, I like so-and-so, but here's why they're a terrible person. So that's going to be fun to navigate. Last night, watched one of the coldest football games ever in recorded history, the Kansas City Chiefs playing the Miami Dolphins in Kansas City. At one moment on the screen, it said it was -7 degrees, and with the wind chill, it was -27. They said it was colder there than it was at the North Pole. So that's pretty terrifying. I really hope that the fans and the players as well didn't get some version of frostbite. I heard that they were trying to do warming stations throughout the stadium, as well as trying to get the players plenty of protection so that they didn't get frostbite. But yeah, it was crazy to watch. It was on kind of late, and the NFL, for some reason, decided to let this wild card game be played on the Peacock channel. Now, for those who are new to this kind of thing and just learning about this stuff, basically, cable as we knew it growing up is no longer cable. Almost every channel that you want is being offered in an a la carte type situation. So if you only wanted to watch Westerns, then you can sign up for just the channels that show the Westerns that you want to watch, and then you don't have to pay for anything else. Now, that's great if you have a single mind of a single purpose of a single thing you want to watch. Like, if my kids were younger, I would probably sign up for Disney Channel and that's it. And I would just watch whatever was on the Disney app, the Disney Plus thing. Or I might be tempted to do the Hulu package, which has Hulu, Disney, and some of the ESPNs, or all the ESPNs, I guess, because it's all owned by Disney. Which might be a better deal because then you have a little bit of something else to watch. But then you get a situation like this where the Peacock, from what I understand, is owned by NBC, but they're creating their own thing separate from NBC so that you have to pay to get content from them. So in other words, this very public football game that we've all grown up to watch on regular free TV, or what they call free TV, TV with commercials. Now they're doing it to where you have to pay to watch it on Peacock. And I'm guessing that while they're also making you pay for it, they're also showing commercials and getting double the money. To me, it's greed at its worst. And I'm happy that I have technology available to me so that I don't have to pay for that. And I still got to watch the game. So thank you to the really smart guys out there who have figured out how to circumvent the greed. And it's a shame that more people can't figure that out, because there's a lot of people who probably signed up just to watch the one game. And now they're going to be like, why did I sign up for this stupid service? I don't like this. I'm also paying for Netflix, and I'm also paying for Hulu, and I'm also paying for Disney, and I'm paying for HBO, and I'm paying for blah, 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 blah. It all becomes too much, right? I mean, you have two courses of action. You either fight back against the greed and you totally pirate the stuff, or you give up on the thing that you think you like to watch because you're just like, well, they're not making it available to me. So I guess we've entered that weird realm of the have and have nots. You kind of have to approach life that way sometimes. There's a lot of people that I know that are going through a lot and are in a position to make decisions, and because of the economy and because of what's going on in their personal lives, sometimes the choice is, do I purchase food or do I purchase a vehicle so that I can eventually make money and be able to buy food and hope that someone can feed me in the meanwhile? I say that looking at my screen, looking at the fact that I'm in a home, a brick home at that, which terrified me when I bought it because I grew up in a trailer. And I'm looking at Star Wars doodads behind me that I've been able to afford, and that's great. That's great. I've been blessed. For whatever reason, I got a decent job that paid well and required nothing of me but showing up and doing hard work on a regular basis. And I did that a lot. And God saw it necessary for me not to get completely injured and to continue doing it for a very long time. And I'm still doing it. And everything costs something. Now, I did have a conversation with somebody who said that he doesn't believe that hard work pays off. He believes that being cunning is the ticket, that if you're smart enough, you can figure out how to make a living and not have to work so hard. And maybe there's some truth in that. I don't know that I've ever seen him sweat a day in his life, and yet he seems to never do without. It's interesting to me in its own special thing. You either got to be smart or you got to be strong. That's one of the things that the Marine Corps taught me. Whenever we went through our basic training, we had a sergeant major tell us one time, he said, you in life are going to be faced with obstacles. And you're going to find out really quickly that if you're not smart, you better be strong. So I'm guessing my friend is smarter than I am, and I'm just stronger than he is. And that's, I guess, the balance. So anywho, let's talk about some stuff I heard. Because I've had some things that I've consumed this week to try to prepare for this podcast. Whenever I open up Netflix, just like most of us, it tells you, hey, you might be interested in this show. And once in a while, you get a hit. And once in a while, you get a miss. But it's worth trying to go, okay, well, is this good or is this not? Let me talk about such a show, okay? I'm a big fan of Michelle Yeoh, I don't know how you pronounce it. She has been in a ton of movies. I talked about her being in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She's awesome. She's an amazing actress. I saw her advertised as a mom in this show called The Brothers Sun, S-U-N, Sun being their last name. And it's about basically, let me read you the rundown on Google because this kind of tells you the whole thing. When the head of the Taiwanese triad is shot by an assassin, his eldest son, Charles, heads to Los Angeles to protect his mother and brother, who've been completely sheltered from the truth of his family until now. That's not exactly true. Even the rundown gets this wrong. He has a brother named Bruce. Bruce knows nothing, okay? Bruce is just living out his life in Southern California, just doing what he has to do to make his mom happy with going to school to try to become a doctor. And meanwhile, he wants to be an improv actor. And so he's taking improv classes, and he's also working as a Uber driver and just having his own little chaotic life outside of that. And his mom, played by Michelle Yeoh, I'm a big fan. she, from the outside in, looks like she is a nurse. But quickly you realize that she knows more than she's telling her son, Bruce, and she's doing all this to sort of protect Bruce. And so as you watch the show, Charles comes to town, and they show you how Charles is a total badass, and he has a passion for baking. He wants to be a professional baker, I think. He doesn't actually come out and say it, but he really, really enjoys watching the Food Channel and trying to recreate delicate pastry dishes. Meanwhile, he's murdering lots of people because that's who he is. He's an assassin. And his dad has raised him to be like his number one right-hand man in this Taiwanese triad situation. So the story unfolds, and it's like, it it tries to be a lot of things and weirdly succeeds at all of them. It's sort of a family movie. It's sort of an assassin, you know, kung fu flick. It's sort of a comedy in a way. It's Asian. It's American. It's all the things that I didn't think that I wanted to see this week, but ended up being everything I wanted to see this week. I enjoyed every episode. There were moments where I thought, you're trying too hard to be funny here. And then something really funny would happen, and I would laugh out loud, and I would go, okay, you got me? You got me? Okay. Thank God for TK. He's one of the actors on the show. He is the comic relief, in my opinion. Michelle is amazing. Mama Sun, she is amazing. You keep waiting for her just to be a total badass, and she does it without having to really do much, just by being her and knowing more than most of the people in the room. The guy who plays their dad, I've seen him in lots of stuff. I can't place him right now. And he doesn't come up when I look at the cast, which is odd. I thought that was really weird. Huh. Anyway, several of these actors have been in other things. Charles, played by Justin Cheen, Cheyenne, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, has been in a ton of things. If anything else, if nobody takes anything away from the show, it will be that Justin is a heartthrob, and he will do many more things after this, because not only is he a total badass in the show, but he looks like your leading man in every movie. He's got swagger. He's got a certain gentleness, but also super violent. And he's all the things you want from a leading man in a show. And he's probably going to fill that role. His name is Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N. Last name is spelled C-H-I-E-N. Chin? Jean? Yeah. I don't know. I'm bad with pronunciations of foreign names. I apologize. Anyway, so The Brother Son, totally loved it. 10 episodes. I watched like one a morning for the last week, and I enjoyed it. Yeah. There's underlying messages in everything. Sometimes it's okay to be a good boy. Sometimes that pays off. Sometimes you can't trust the people that you think you can. And sometimes, even though you can't trust the people you think you can, they can still mean the best. There's a lot in this that's easily digestible, but yeah. I don't know. I liked it. I hope a lot of people see it. So anyway, yeah. Okay, switching gears. This is a show that came on Disney Plus. Echo. Echo is a comic book hero, Native American descent, who we've seen elements of in the Hawkeye series, also in Daredevil. Maya plays Kingpin's sort of adoptive daughter. And at a certain point, she realizes that Kingpin actually killed her father, and she turns on him. And there's a episode where she shoots him in the face, and you think, oh no, she just killed him. Like, it's over. And this show sort of picks up from that. And I had forgotten about that, but on the flashbacks, I was like, oh yeah, I do remember this part. Netflix did a really good job with the Defenders Marvel characters. So just like you have the Marvel characters in the New York area for, you know, the big Avengers fight, the Defenders were also in the New York area, but they're like a smaller tiered. They're like the AA team. they've got some superpowers, but it may not be like Captain America and the Hulk. It's more, you know, local grade. So Echo, I don't know why they call her Echo. Even watching the show, I watched the whole show. It's only 5 episodes. Supposedly she has the ability to reach across generations and gather power and strength from each of the versions of her heritage and share them with every version of her heritage there. So it's sort of like I have the power of all my people and I can give it to you too, if you're in the same bloodline. And it's an interesting power. They really don't show much of it. Just like 15 minutes of it in the show. I don't know. They did a lot of trying to show that she was tough. They brought back Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin. He wasn't killed. Apparently they took this straight out of the comics because I didn't know that. I didn't read these. I wasn't even aware of Echo. But yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio is a total badass. And his role as Kingpin has been one of the best roles I've ever seen him play. I mentioned this whenever I was talking about him in Daredevil and in The Punisher and all of the Defender series. To me, he was the best bad guy that they ever created. In order to have a good show, you need a good bad guy. Here's the problem with Echo is he's not so much the bad guy in this. There is no definitive bad guy in this. This is where the show fails. They did a good job of making her character kind of, I don't know what's the right way to say this. They did a good job of showing you why you should care about this person, but they did not give you a rival that was worthy of anything. In this, like I said, D'Onofrio looked at her as like an adoptive daughter. So he's trying to come back and have like a relationship with her. And she's fighting people around him and sort of fighting him. But at the end, she has sympathy for him. And listen, I get it. This is supposed to be like an Indian superhero that has, feelings and wants to resolve things and wants to make peace ultimately. But it is a warrior. And how do you have a bad guy? You need a decent bad guy. And the show fails on that part. Okay. And I don't know if this is because Disney took it over. But to me, they just failed in having an adversary worth the show succeeding. Maybe that's in the comics that they just didn't bring something out. I don't know. I'm not that aware of the comics. But you do see Jeremy Renner in a flashback scene. Charlie Cox comes back as Daredevil, which I'm super excited about because that's a great role for him. He is an awesome actor. but again, you wouldn't care about any of these people if it wasn't for the fact that Kingpin was such a good bad guy. So listen, hats off to Vincent D'Onofrio for playing Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, just phenomenal. But the breakdown of the show, I'll read you the Google thing. Maya Lopez's ruthless behavior in New York City catches up with her in her hometown. She must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace the meaning of family and community. Aw. Yeah. It's also a long lesson of reading the screen because sign language. It's a lot of sign language. I don't know. It's not like she can't hear everything because she can hear something. Sort of. Maybe it's hearing. Maybe she lost her hearing. But there's a lot of sign language. And, it's one thing to bring on the additive of mixing a Native American language with English and trying to have conversations and subtitles and stuff. But the other thing is trying to add in sign language as well. It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of reading. That was something about the brother-son. Is there's a lot of reading in that too, because they mixed in English with Taiwanese, with Korean, with Chinese. There was a lot of conversations in different languages and they would often switch between who they were talking to, which is normalized. If you're that kind of descent and you have the ability to speak multiple languages, you want to be able to talk so that maybe the people around you can't understand what you're saying. So you can be like, listen, I think so-and-so's got to get me. and they could be standing right next to you, but you could say it in a language they didn't understand. I mean, but yeah, so this week was a lot of reading, which I was super excited for because, you know, the whole eyeball thing makes it fun. So that's it. That's all I got. I did listen to a great podcast that I recommend. It is the Blocks podcast put on by Neil Brennan. This past week, he had on Jimmy Carr. Jimmy Carr is a fantastic stand-up comedian. He's one of the hardest working comedians that's out there. He doesn't have a lot of specials on TV, but mainly that's because he's around the globe all the time just doing performances. He made a comment that last year he did 300 shows in 365 days. That's a lot of travel. And I had heard other comedians on podcasts that they have talk about how much Jimmy Carr works, and they're all amazed. So Jimmy talks about his past. He talks about why he and Neil are friends, how he helped Neil come up with the idea for the podcast based upon Neil's show, Blocks, and how everyone has blocks. They just don't talk about it. And how good would it be if you could normalize talking about your blocks? Which goes right back into this podcast. This is exactly what I talked about. What if you normalized the things that you were going through and normalized some of your thoughts? Instead of them being weird and awkward and you feeling isolated and alone, you could share them. And who knows? Maybe build community. Maybe heal yourself and heal those around you. So, yeah, if that's you, share that with your friends and neighbors and loved ones. They actually care about you. Sometimes you're thinking, oh, they won't understand. They will. You just have to communicate better. We all do. So take care. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.